How's everyone doing this morning? Good. I love Parent Day. It's good to have the parents here with us. And students, I'm glad you're here, right smack in the middle of our counterculture series. Let me tell you about something I did when I was your age in the youth group. We used to have an event. Oh, you already know it's coming, man. We used to have an event called the Mr. Valentine Pageant. It would happen every year. It would happen every year around Valentine's Day in February. And legitimately, this was a church-wide event 20 years ago when I was in the youth group. The boys would dress up in dresses, the girls would do our hair and our makeup, and we would literally have a drag pageant on the sanctuary stage of our church, and there would be judges, and it was quite a scene. And just in case you don't believe me, there are some pictures that are out there floating around the internet world. I guess I will show it to you because I love you guys. There's me in the beautiful green dress. And lo and behold, you know what? That was my mother's prom dress when she was in high school. And I fit into it as a high school sophomore. So, this actually was the last year it happened. We got a new pastor that came in and said, "You're not, guys, you aren't doing that anymore." So, there's me and my best friend, Herb, in the red dress. Herb, that's a good name. There's all of us there. I'm right in the middle. And here's, I think, after Jeremy won in the black dress, we're all celebrating with him. That's my youth group days. And you know what? You know why that's so funny? Is because 20 years ago, that was so ridiculous and so far-fetched and just hilarious because it was just funny, right, for guys to dress up as girls. But the culture has changed, hasn't it? The culture has changed. And the whole theme of counterculture is that even though the culture changes, Christians, we can't change. God's word doesn't change. The truth doesn't change. And we can't change along with the culture. We can't do a Mr. Valentine Day pageant. I don't think I would have a job on Monday if we had a Mr. Valentine's Day pageant on Sunday. Man, times change. So the whole theme of this week we're starting a two-week series on sexuality. So this week we're talking about gender roles and what it means to be made in the image of God as male and female. And next week we're talking about sexual purity, and Pastor Eric's going to bring that message. So here's the big idea for today. When you understand biblical manhood and womanhood, you will be able to understand and pursue God's design for you. You want to know God's design for you, God's plan for you, God's will for you, God's hope for you. It all starts back in Genesis 1. And you can understand what it means to be created as a male and as a female in the image of God. I think I've got more content to cover than I have ever had in a sermon today, so I'm going to talk real fast. Can you listen real fast so we can get through this? Okay. Here's the foundation. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female. He created them. You think God really wants us to get something in that passage? What? That we were created in his image and we were created as male and female. So God created us equal. Equal in value, men and women. Equal in worth, equal in dignity. But made us very distinctly different at the same time. Equal in value, but different in function and role and responsibility and design. We're designed to complement each other in very separate ways. And you're not going to hear that from culture. You're not going to hear that from the world, that men and women were created differently on purpose and there should be separation between the two genders. But that's what God's word says. That's the starting point. So we're going to look at three things. And it starts with the need. We have to understand the need to be male and female and be what God designed us to be. And that's the central issue. It's important for everyone to grasp. Maybe not for the reasons you think. You look around at culture and you can see we're all sorts of confused in our culture when it comes to gender. It's really obvious. You stand up in your school and say that men and women are supposed to be different and separate, and God made us on purpose distinctly different, separate, equal in value and worth, but their genders should be distinct. That's how God created us. That's not what That's not what you would hear at school, is it? In a school where gender roles are being blurred and gender lines are being crossed, and when decisions are being made to make gender-neutral bathrooms and locations to accommodate for all beliefs, this is counterculture. It's the reason we need to understand, though, and stand up for biblical manhood and womanhood is because God created us that way. He created us male and female from the very start. Genesis chapter 1, this was his design. At the very core of our being, he created you as a male or as a female by design, on purpose. And that has ramifications on every area of your life. Genesis 1:27 said that God created you that way. There are men created by God and there are women created by God. There's no in-between. There's no gray area. There's no generic human created by God. Just like there's no generic Christian. You are male or female. And it's not sexist. It's not misogynistic. It's actually lifting up men and lifting up women together, both as superior. Not one is superior over the other. It's lifting up God's design. And that's where we have to draw our identity from. You can draw it from a few places. Here's just a few. I think your identity is either going to come from what you think, what they think, or what God thinks. Where are you getting your identity from? As a human, as a Christian? Is it just what you think, whatever you feel is right, whatever you want? Or are you being influenced by the culture and around you, whatever they say? Or are you really drawing from God's word and saying, God, what's your purpose? What's my identity in you? That's where we want to go, and that's why we're starting with Genesis chapter 1. That's why we see so many gender identity issues, so many sexual identity issues, so many personal identity issues, because we're listening to the wrong voice. In the image of God, he created us male and female. So guys, if you're looking to image God, to shine him to the world, to glorify him, if you're looking to do that, it is connected to your masculinity. Because in the image of God, you were created as a male. Girls, if you're looking to image God and to reflect him to others, it's connected to your femininity. You were made as a female in the image of God. So act like it, guys. Women, act like it. Husbands in the room, be the husband God created you to be. Wives, be that Proverbs 31 woman that God created you to be. Masculinity is the road that men take to get to Jesus. Femininity is the road that women take to worship Jesus. If we turn away from what God created in us or deny that image that God instilled in us, then we're turning our back on God himself. So students, do you see the need to get this? Do you know? You understand how messed up culture is because you live in it every day in your school, don't you? This is a huge need. Romans 1 describes how big of a need it is because we see the consequences of it when we turn our back on it. They turned their back on God's image that was in them, and they started worshiping themselves rather than God. And here's what it says. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. Is it obvious to you how God created you? You know if you're a male or a female. It's obvious, right? For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. Through his creation, his plan is obvious. In the image of God as male or female. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So we have no excuse, guys, for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. They're listening to what they think. Remember, what you think, coming up with your own idea of what you should be and what God is like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere men and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. And so they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Do you see that being played out all over your school, all over the news, and all over movies, and all over the world? We're trading the truth of who God is and who he created us to be for this man-made image of whatever we want. And he's given us up to shameful, evil things when we turn our back on God. And that's really what every sin does. when we lift ourselves higher than God. That's really what sin is. And that's why we need to understand gender roles and pursue who God made us to be. Because life's not so much about what you avoid, but it's about what you pursue. Christians, we shouldn't just be trying to avoid all the evil in the world and kind of exclude ourselves. We should be pursuing good and finding it in the world and pursuing God and infiltrating the world with good. So, God said it's not good for man to be alone, so he created woman. So there's a directedness in God's design for a woman to be with a man, and for a man to need a woman from the very beginning. That's why there are genders. So the very definition of God's design and creation, anything that twists that goes against God. Anything that changes the purpose of gender goes against God's design, including homosexuality and transgender. It goes against God's design. It's a direct opposition of God's heart and will for your life. He knit all of us together in our mother's womb. He knew who we were. He knew what he was making on purpose. He made you on purpose for a purpose with a purpose, guys. And anything that goes against that purpose and creation and in his design goes against God's heart for your life. So part two of that message is in the main worship. So if you're around for the second hour and you can go in the main worship, Pastor Steve's going to talk more about that issue with homosexuality and transgender and being made in the image of God. We're looking more at just gender roles in here. So if you can't make it in their second hour, listen online, and you'll be encouraged by that as well. That's number one, the need. I just wanted to lay the foundation of why we need this so much. Number two, it's the definition. What does this all mean? Okay, if this is really what God wants, what is it that he wants? What does it mean to be made as a male and as a female? What's God's purpose in that? Well, the Bible doesn't just come out and say it. There's no clear definition, but it gives us a lot of ideas. So, man, for the whole rest of the message, we're just going to be reading a lot of verses. We just want to hear from God and not necessarily just from me. So we want to know God's heart. And this definition is, there's no clear, perfect definition. Trying to come up with a perfect definition of being made as a male and a female, what that means is kind of like coming up with a perfect definition of God, because we're made in his image. And that's impossible. So let's just look at the Bible and see what we see in gender and roles. And so let's start with the guys. I'll break it down. Guys, I really like what John Piper says, and this is his definition of mature masculinity. At the heart of it is a sense of benevolent responsibility to lead, provide for, and protect women in ways appropriate to a man's differing relationships. Benevolent responsibility to lead, protect, and to provide for. So it's a responsibility. Biblical masculinity has always been motivated by love. And isn't that cool? That we get to love and serve. That's why the hero always is willing to die, to sacrifice himself in the story. Guys, we should be willing to sacrifice ourselves, put ourselves lower, so that we can raise others, especially women, up and serve them. This isn't something that we get to change or decide not to do, or we don't want to do it. It's been given to us by God. It is a responsibility as men. And differing relationships. This is going to look different at home and at church and at school and when you're with your friends, but it doesn't change the responsibility. It's just going to be lived out differently as you relate to your female friends, guys, as you relate to your mother, as you relate to your sisters, as you relate to people within the church. How you live that out differs, but the responsibility stays the same. So let's look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14 say, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love, guys. Titus 2:7 says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity and dignity. 1 Timothy 6:11, O man of God, flee from sin, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Gentleness. That's being a man of God, is being gentle and meek. Isn't that interesting? So guys, be men like that. Be godly, courageous men. Here's a story I tell my son all the time. He's named Caleb after the biblical character of Caleb. If you know the story, Moses has been promised by God to go and inhabit Canaan and get to the promised land. So he sends 12 spies out to see what's going on in Canaan, if they're really going to be able to, you know, attack it and conquer it and take it for their own land. So Caleb is one of these spies. They go out and they spy the land, and they come back, and they send the spies speak up and say, "Guys, Moses, this land is amazing. Look at all this fruit, giant fruit that's all over the place. It's flowing with milk and honey." Just saying, this is a fertile, great place to live. We would love to live there. The only problem is the people that live there, they're like giants. They're like way bigger than us. Their cities are fortified. There's no way we're going to attack those guys. We are so outnumbered. We're so outmatched. There's nothing we can do against those warriors. And Caleb speaks up and says, guys, don't you remember what God said? He promised us this land. When the other spies said, we're like grasshoppers compared to these guys, Caleb says, no, don't be grasshoppers, be warriors. God promised it. God is bigger than those guys, even if they're bigger than us. And we're on God's side. He is with us. So what a story of manhood, standing up for truth, believing God's promise, and being willing to go and conquer, guys. That's what I tell my son. Don't be a grasshopper. Be a warrior. Go after what God has told you to go after. So let's go after it. Caleb was a man. A man is always willing to move and always does move when God speaks to his heart. That's a good definition of a true biblical man. Caleb trusted God. Too many guys are just see themselves as puny and are turning their back on God and see themselves as a grasshopper compared to the rest of the world. But God's created them and has a promise for them. So guys, pursue that biblical masculinity. Pursue manliness. Pursue integrity. And girls, it's your turn. The Bible has a lot to say about who God created you to be as a distinctly different gender. Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, 'It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him.'" Proverbs 31, the whole chapter is about the godly woman. But it says, "An excellent wife who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised." Proverbs 11:16, "A gracious woman attains honor." 1 Timothy 3:11, "Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate and faithful in all things." Titus 2:3-5, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled." And we don't want to revile God's word, do we? We don't want to spurn what God has asked us to do. And women, this is how you can do that. Let's follow these steps. Biblical femininity is about some of these things that I just read. It's about being a helpmate. It's about being a nurturer that is valued, praised, dignified, faithful, and pure. That's a good picture of a biblical woman. I love the story of Abigail. Abigail in the Bible, in 1 Samuel 25, she was married to a man named Nabal, who was just this evil ruler. He was just an insane, evil man. And he was kind of harsh with David. So this is King David is here at this time too. And he kind of hated David. So David thought he was going to attack him. So David prepared all his men for this attack and was actually going to attack King Nabal first to kind of get the upper hand. Well, Abigail heard about the coming attack from David. So she gathered all her servants. She made a giant feast. And she went and set the feast down before David and pleaded with him to save her family's life. She risked her own life for her evil husband and for her family. And so David's heart was moved, and he chose not to go and attack the king, Nabal. And so Nabal thought, because of his great might and his great strength, King David got scared off. So he threw this big banquet in celebration of himself, and then at the end he figured out that Abigail was the one that actually turned David away. And he was so shocked that he had a heart attack, and the Bible says he died 10 days later. Now David was so impressed with Abigail. This is Crazy stuff, 1 Samuel 25. David was so impressed with Abigail that when he heard Nabal had died, he sent for her because he wanted her to be his wife. If she was willing to do that for Nabal, this evil, crazy guy, I want a wife like that, he says. He saw a virtue of honesty, of faithfulness, and a virtue of sacrificing and submitting herself for her family's good. Abigail's a good picture of a godly woman who did that, even married to an evil, vindictive husband. She was still faithful. So ladies, pursue that type of biblical femininity. Run after the woman God created you to be. Embrace it. Be a modern-day Abigail. Seek God first. Speak truthfully. Show true beauty. Stay humble. So I guess that's kind of in a nutshell maybe what the Bible would say about what it looks like to be a man and a woman. So let's wrap up with our third section here is the beauty. Grasping the beauty of it. It's not just knowing about it, knowing the need, understanding what the Bible says. It's not just filling ourselves with knowledge, but it's really grabbing hold of the beauty that God created me as a male. God created you as a male or a female on purpose. Have you ever immediately regretted a decision that you've made in your life? Like immediately, this was a stupid idea. We've all probably been there. You were living your life, you were enjoying it, and then all of a sudden, the beauty and the fun was sucked out of it real fast because you made a stupid decision. Kind of like these dogs. I've got some here, right? So this dog right here. Yeah. This is not such a good idea. Here's another one. I don't know how this happened, but not such a good idea. Although he's pretty happy about it. Here's another one. So, my favorite thing is all their owners are like, the first thought is, I got to take a picture of this. Here's another one right there. here's this dog, this little puppy right here. Yeah, that's not good at all. I think I got a couple more. Here we go. You got to give it to that dog. I don't know how he did it. That's almost impressive. No. The last one, here you go. Maybe you felt like this dog. Kind of looks like his owner, doesn't he? That's kind of funny. So we've all made decisions that we regret, and we follow maybe what we want and what feels right instead of what we really should do and the smart and being wise, right? And sometimes that destroys the beauty of life and we get stuck and all of a sudden it's not fun anymore. Listen, when we start living by what we think or by what anyone else thinks, the you think or they think thing, we lose the beauty and the wonder of what God thinks. We lose the beauty and the wonder of God's design in us. So ultimately, none of what we've talked about matters unless we see this beauty. There's a great chasm between knowing a fact and being awestruck by that fact. And that's where I desire for all of us to be so captivated by who God created you to be and see it clearly in nature and in His design that we want nothing else other than to grab hold of that. In the Bible, God's spoken of as a He, but both men and women are created in God's image. He bears the good characteristics of both genders, although God is distinctly male in Scripture. We're not taking that away from Him. But join me as we just walk through some Scriptures. I'm going to read them fast. They're not on the screen, so jot down the reference if you want to look them back up. And let's walk through a list of Scripture and just listen as we get to enjoy and consider the God that we get to image as male and female. So guys, we mentioned a couple things like providing and protecting. What about provider? James 1:17, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down from the God our Father. He provides for us. Acts 17:25, human hands can't serve His needs, for He has no needs. He Himself gives life and breath to everything. He satisfies every need. He provides for us. He provides for us at a cost, at a great cost, by sending His Son to die. And that's a good definition of masculinity, providing at a cost for others. That's what we see in the cross. Luke 22:19. This is my body which is given for you. Guys, we're called to be a protector. Psalms 3:3. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? Psalms 121:7. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. When the wrath of God was pointed at you and me, Jesus stepped in front of it, stepped in our place, and protected us from the death that sin causes. Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. You see how God has provided and protected us? Guys, we're called to do the same. That's how we image God. That's how we shine Him. That's how we reflect Him. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. I believe that God designed men to be initiators and women to be responders. You see that all throughout Scripture, and that's kind of where these definitions come from. That's why we're to provide and to protect. We're to initiate those things for our family, guys, for your sisters, for your mom, for your friends. It's to your glory and it's for God's glory to get to do that, to image God as a man. Biblical manhood's not about being a jock. It's not about being a man's man, a hunter, an outdoors guy. It's not about playing all the best sports. There are a lot of men that are techie guys and artsy guys and quiet guys and meek guys that are crazy, manly, biblical men. Man, in high school, I didn't play sports. I didn't do the jock stuff. I fit in my mom's prom dress, all right? So I was in drama club. I was in choir. I was in band. For a night of one acts for our drama club, I did a solo interpretive dance, okay? I'll just put it that way. By myself. Somewhere. I don't have the video for that. It's somewhere in the world. I don't have it, though. But guys, I still was a leader in FCA. I was a leader in my youth group, and I wanted to follow God. So there's no like perfect image of that's a man. Are you providing and protecting and pursuing God? That's a man. Guys, be a guy like that. Girls, look for a guy like that. Girls, you were made to image God specifically as well. So let's look at how you can image some attributes of God. We talked about being a helper. John 4:34, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. The cross was God's plan. Jesus really didn't actually want to go to the cross. You remember the Garden of Eden? If there's any other way, God, may it be. But he went. He submitted his own will to help in his Father's work. Psalms 10:14, the helpless put their trust in you. You defend the orphans. Psalm 121:1, I look up to the mountains to where my help comes from. John 14:16, Jesus said, I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will never leave you. You know, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, right? He takes on the name helper. God calls himself helper. He goes down and stoops down. Jesus comes down to where we are and helps us. Girls, this is how you image God. Hebrews 13:6 says, the Lord is my helper, so I'll have no fear. What can mere people do to me? We're prone to look down on helpers, aren't we? But would anyone dare stand in God's presence and look down on him for how he helped us? Girls, be a helper. Serve others, and that gives glory to God. That images God and shines him to the world. The Bible also calls you a nurturer. Psalms 23, the whole chapter, is about how God nurtures us. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He lets me rest in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, nurturing us as a mother would nurture her young. Isaiah 51:12, I am the one who comforts you. Isaiah 66:13, I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. God refers to himself as a mother who would comfort his child. That's how he nurtures us. 2 Corinthians 1:4, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. And here, probably my favorite verse in this section. God is speaking and talking about his people. He's talking about us. In Hosea 11:3, I'm going to put it on the screen because I want you to see this, girls. God says, I myself taught Israel how to walk, leading him along by the hand. But he doesn't even know or even care that it was I who took care of him. What a picture of a nurturing God. And women and girls, God has instilled that in you, to be that for others. That's our God, teaching us to walk, helping us every step of the way. That's what you get to image when you use that God-given nurturing and helping instinct for your family and your friends and your parents. Are these the signs of the lowly and the inferior people of the earth, just submitting themselves, helping others, nurturing others, and putting themselves lower so that other people can be raised up? No. This is the highest calling you could achieve, girls. It's what it means that God created you in his image as a female. Embrace that and love that about yourself. Girls, be a girl like this. Guys, look for a girl like this. So let me wrap up with just a big so what. What do we want to do from this? What's God calling us to be? What's the application here? It's four words. It's believe, stand, embrace, and love. Believe what God says about his purpose with your gender, created equally but yet distinctly different by design. Believe it. It's the truth from God's word. Stand up for God's design and creation. Choose not to stand for anything that manipulates his design for males or females, that changes the roles or blends the roles, or that defines marriage as anything other than male and female. It goes against his design. Stand up for God's design in creation. Embrace. Embrace your God-given gender. Know that it is an honor that we get to image God by his design in us, as the men or as the woman that God made us to be. So, guys, girls, start today. Guys, start today. Practice providing and protecting. Provide by doing really well at school to prepare yourself to get a good job. Hold the door open for girls. Learn how to do things around the house and provide for your family even now. Even though you're not married, you can practice providing. Make that happen. Guys, protect. Protect by being friends with everyone. Protect your purity. Protect by saying no to temptation, by not looking at pornography. Protect yourself. Stand up for women. Girls, practice helping and nurturing. That's what it looks like to embrace. So help by submitting your wills to others, putting them first. Help your mother around the household, around the house with chores and cooking. Learn how to do those things really well so that you can help down the road in your own home. Nurture by avoiding gossip, by encouraging and strengthening others, by praying for people, by caring for those that are least cared for. Girls, help and nurture. And then finally, love. Love and show kindness to all people, regardless of differing beliefs or differing lifestyles. We're called to love and to show kindness to them. And if we think they're wrong, we believe that the Bible says that they're wrong. The Bible says, let our kindness lead them to repentance. It doesn't say, let our debates or our Facebook posts or our fighting lead them to repentance. It says, let your kindness lead them to repentance. We want everyone to grab hold of this, the truth of God's design, to be made in the image of God as male and female. So believe, stand up, embrace, and love. I guess that's what I would leave you guys with. Let me pray that we would do that, and then we'll wrap up here with a few announcements. God, what a topic that we need in our world and even in this room. We need this. We need to get back to your design. Help us to grab hold of what it means to be men created in your image, what it means to be women created in your image. Help us to do those things, to believe it, first of all. Help us to stand up for it and then make it personal by embracing it in our life and pursuing it and practicing it and then loving others as we go along our way every day. this message is going to hit us all differently and mean different things, but it doesn't change the truth of it. So we pray that we would just not run to anything else but your word if we want to know more about this and if we're struggling. Help us to run to your word. Help us to run to someone that can help, a parent, a pastor, an older, wiser friend that can give us encouragement and advice. We just need you, God. I don't know what else to pray, but we need your design in our life. We want your will. We want your peace. We want your hope. So help us to get that as we leave this room today. Excited, not discouraged, but excited that we get to go and image you and shine you to the world very distinctly and differently as the men and women you created us to be. God, thank you for that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.